You're listening to The Roofer Report, the ultimate podcast for roofing professionals, business owners, and entrepreneurs. Get insider access and hear about the highs, lows, and tales of triumphs from thriving business owners. Brought to you by Roofer, hosted by Pete McKendrick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Roofer Report. I am your host, Pete McKendrick, and we are back with another great episode of The Roofer Report on our Roofer of the Month series. This has been a fantastic series for us, getting to know the roofing community, getting to meet a lot of great roofers, whether they're new to the business, whether they've been in business for a while, and just a lot of great areas that they're in and some of the niche things they figured out and how they're utilizing products and how they're running their businesses, some of the things that have separated them from their competition. So it's always great to hear from roofers. This series has been fantastic for that. If you haven't listened to some of the past episodes that we've done, I suggest going to our website, jumping on there, and listening to some of the other Roofer of the Month episodes as well. But today, we are joined by our newest Roofer of the Month, and that is Jacob LaRue with Honeydew Roofing. Super excited to have you. Congrats on Roofer of the Month, Jacob, and welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, and it's just been an honor to get to meet everybody at Roofer and get to really dive into your guys' system and get to know how it works.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you jumping on, and I'm looking forward to hearing your story and diving into your business a little bit. So to start, let's just tell us a little bit, like, how long have you guys been in business? You know, what's the makeup of the organization? How many people you got working for you? And where are you guys based out of?
Yeah, so Honeydew Roofing was established back in March of 2024. So we just hit our 1-year anniversary a couple months ago. And at the time, it was me and another business partner from the church I go to. And we just started him and I for a while. Now there's been an ownership change. He's left the business and there's a new partner I have now. And we have one full-time project manager, an office admin, and 3 sales reps, as well as ourselves.
And you guys are based out of San Antonio, correct?
Yeah, we are based out of San Antonio. And my new business partner lives in Dallas. So we just actually yesterday opened up our Frisco location. So we're going to be starting up there as well.
Oh, wow. So talk a little bit about, I mean, because, you know, we often hear about the Texas market, how competitive it is. And I think most of the time when we talk about that, we're thinking Houston, we're thinking Dallas. Talk a little bit about the San Antonio market and what it's like there.
Yeah. So I worked for 2 companies previous to this. One that was kind of like a little bit more on the smaller side, you know, the $4 to $6 million range. And then I worked for a company that was about $30 million when I left it. I got in at the ground floor there. I joke with all my customers, like, you throw a hammer in San Antonio and probably hit a roofer because there's so many of us, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely not as many as Houston and Dallas. I think there's a little over 1,000 registered contractors here, and those are just the ones that are registered with the city. So it's definitely very interesting. You know, we got hit with hail for the 2nd time this year, Monday night. And yesterday we were out door knocking, and I'll tell you, it was kind of an eerie feeling because normally, like the first storm that hit back at the end of March, I mean, everybody and their mother was out there. And so we were all competing for roofs, and you see every company's yard signs out there, trucks all over the place. And yesterday, for whatever reason, there was nobody around us. We were in 4 or 5 different neighborhoods and nobody was out knocking. We saw one other company. And after they saw us out there, they kind of turned around and left. And so it's an interesting market because it is very competitive here. You almost never go to an estimate where you're the only person, even when you're highly referred, right? We're always competing against each other, but it's just interesting because the dynamics here are always changing. There's times where we're going against 7 or 8 roofers on every single estimate we go to in a week, and times where it's 1 or 2 other people. And, you know, we know those people, and so we know what we're going up against. So it's definitely a very interesting market. I love it here. I think we have all the good stuff that you can have in roofing with such a big city as well. So we have plenty of work. Everybody can be successful here.
Nice. Now let's go talk a little bit about the backstory. How did you get into roofing? We always joke that roofing finds you, you don't find roofing. So there's always some colorful stories as to how everybody gets into the business. What's your backstory? How did you end up in the roofing industry?
Yeah, so I owned a landscaping company from 2013 until 2019. At the time, I met another landscaper through Instagram. He ended up joining that first roofing company I was at and then became a partner over there about 6 months after he joined them. And so I was just doing some landscaping projects. I couldn't trust anybody to do the work. I ended up hurting myself And I was like, hey, I'd like to get married, have kids, and I'd like to not be a cripple by the time I have them. So I'm like, I got to do something else. I tried to find some more sales related positions, and I reached out to my buddy and I got in with them. So it was definitely like a falling into it. It was just, I saw they were hiring sales reps. And so I reached out. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Definitely changed my life. That's for sure. I'm not sure I'd ever leave the roofing industry. I think there's so much opportunity here, but it was definitely like a falling into it. So that was back in 2019. I'll be in it for 6 years as of this August, and it has been an incredible experience.
Now, speak a little bit of what made you decide. So you came into sales 2019. Obviously, you worked sales. You said you worked for a couple companies. What made you decide to go into business for yourself?
So when I was back, you know, landscaping, I obviously owned my own business. I said I never wanted to work for somebody. And then I got into roofing and I was like, well, these guys are pretty cool. I had two great companies I worked for. I really enjoyed it. You know, there was one of those things where it's like, I always like building things. I like solving problems. The last company I was at, we obviously, like, we started in 2021 at that company and I left in 2024. So I was there 2.5 years and we grew from obviously a brand new company to a $30 million company in that time. And there was crazy growth and it was very awesome to see. And there was always something to fix, process that we needed to build, something to overcome. And so it was just like what I loved doing. And, you know, at the time when I went to leave, I kind of felt like there was just something telling me my time was done there. And I could tell that we were kind of getting into that mode where things were predictable. We knew our numbers really well. The marketing was there. The leads were there. The sales were there. And so, you know, as a sales manager, I was like, man, I feel like I'm about to get into this routine that I don't think I'm really going to like. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't have the wrong attitude in that job and then affect that company or my sales team. And so I just started considering other options at that point. And one of the things that I had always wanted to do was create a home service business that was a one-stop shop for everything. And that's kind of where the name Honeydew has come from. But the idea is that long-term, our business will be your Honeydew list. So it's not just going to be roofing. That's just where we started because I have so much knowledge there. And it was an easy thing for us to get started into right away. But, you know, we plan on expanding and either starting or purchasing pretty much every other kind of home service business that you can have for the state of Texas.
Nice. So speak a little bit to, you said you were with that company. They started in 21. You're with them for about 2.5 years and obviously some incredible growth there. What do you think was the biggest lesson you learned in that process of seeing that company grow and be successful? And like you said, there was always fires to put out and things to fix because you guys were maturing and evolving so fast. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things that you learned? What do you think were some of the most important lessons you took away from that business?
So, you know, there's really two things that stand out to me when I look back on that time at that company. First of all, I got to work with some amazing people. The guy who started that business with our Owens Corning rep here in San Antonio for a long time, he was a really close friend of mine. He was almost like a second dad to me. We were really close and he taught me pretty much everything in 2019 and throughout my career. So getting to work with him was awesome. But his business partner that kind of came in and helped fund the business, I feel like I got a doctorate in leadership and business from him. So that's the number one thing I look back at. He's just very knowledgeable. I didn't go to college. I knew that wasn't for me. I didn't want to get into debt. I didn't want to get a degree that I wasn't going to use. I knew I had an knack for sales and I knew that I had the entrepreneurial spirit and I can make things happen. So getting to learn under both of those guys who had so much roofing experience and so much business experience, that just gave me an entire new light to leadership and business and roofing and all of that. That was the number one thing for me, for seeing it grow that fast and seeing all the great things that we did. It was amazing to be able to have those owners that we had there to be able to back us up and teach us the things we needed. But the second thing, which I think is more important for the roofing industry, is I got to see what a real business looks like. Not a roofing business. Too many times we see the reason somebody starts a roofing business is because they're on a 10-50-50 split. They're doing all the work, they're door knocking, and they're getting the customers, meeting adjusters, signing contract, building the roof, collecting. So they do everything that an owner does, but they just don't have the liability of the owner. and they're making 50% of the profit. So you get somebody who gets pissed off because they don't get their paycheck right or they don't get commissions right. And they say, well, I already do it myself. I'm going to do it on my own. And and that's almost every roofing business out there, right? And so I had seen that a lot. I had a lot of friends that I knew that had done that. And I hadn't really seen a true business, you know, where it was actually ran like a legitimate business. And so being at that company, I got to see, like, we had every single person was a W-2 employee. We had 36 trucks that were wrapped on the road. Every single person that was customer facing drove a company vehicle. We had all the right insurances. We paid salaries. We had a whole bunch of support staff. It was a completely different thing to see it is possible to run a roofing company and to not toe the gray line that the IRS wants us to toe, right? Like, everybody's wondering, how can we get past this 1099 W-2 thing, and how do we do it, and how do we afford to do it? And I got to learn how an actual business runs. And so that helped give me the confidence to say, okay, well, first of all, I learned so much. I feel like I have a doctorate in leadership and business, but also knowing the ins and outs of being able to actually start and run a legitimate roofing business, I just knew that that was perfect timing for me. And so those are the two things I think stood out to me the most. And that's what helped me build Honeydew Roofing.
Yeah, this is a great topic because it's something that I was actually talking to some folks internally. We got some new folks that just started, kind of explaining the roofing space to them, you know, just earlier in the week. And this is an interesting topic because I feel like we're seeing a bit of a shift in the roofing industry from when I started. Like, I've been in roofing now, in the tech side of roofing, for about seven, eight years. And from the customers that I talked to and the contractors that I dealt with early on in my career versus the people that I talk to now, you're seeing a significant shift in the fact that people are looking to run, like you said, a more legitimate business, right? And I think traditionally, you know, the folks that were starting roofing companies 8 years ago when I got into this were people who had started nailing shingles on a roof and then just kind of, you know, built up over time, maybe built a reputation for themselves. Like you said, branched out on their own, grabbed some customers. Next thing you know, it evolves into a company. But they really ultimately didn't know how to really run a company. They're like super savvy in production. They could literally put a roof on any structure, any place on the face of the earth. But there's so much more that goes into running a business. And that's something that we talk about internally quite often is the attrition rate of roofing companies, how many of them go out of business in the first couple of years. And I think so much of it is because they don't understand, or they just haven't experienced or been exposed to running a legitimate business, right? And, you know, like yourself, I owned and ran a landscaping company when I was younger. And looking back on it, the amount of mistakes that I made running that business was like incredible. If I could do that over again, knowing what I know now, it would be a completely different ballgame. And I just made, like, being young, not having business sense, just trying to run a business with minimal knowledge, more or less, kind of like learning as I went. Obviously, I made a lot of mistakes, and I'm sure it affected the business profitability. It affected my employees, all that stuff, right? So I've been there. I kind of understand it. And I see more and more roofing companies now going like the way you said, whether they're gaining experience someplace else or whether they're just doing their homework, they seem to be much more savvy in running an actual business and understanding all the pieces of that. It's not like money's not all over the place and unorganized. Like, there's sales and marketing processes in place that were never there before. But it is very interesting that you brought that up, because gaining that knowledge and that intimate understanding of how to run an actual legitimate business is a game changer, right? Because it's going to allow you to be much more successful, much quicker than if you were just a roofer, right? That just, like you said, or a disgruntled salesperson who just went out on their own, right? So it is interesting. You said you got a couple employees, like you got some sales guys going. One of the questions I always like to ask everybody in this is, who would you say at this point was your most integral hire? Who was the most important person that you've hired in this first year of business?
Yeah, that's kind of...
doesn't have to be an individual person, but like position-wise,
yeah. What
do you think was the biggest void you filled that's been the most beneficial pickup, you know, for you guys this year?
Right off the bat, it's got to be production. It was the first hire I made. And I got blessed that my younger brother actually worked with me at that other company that I was with. There was an opportunity for him to come on board with us last year in June, so about 3 months after we started. He came in and it was fantastic because him and I had already worked together a lot. We both knew the process. It was perfect for us because me and my business partner could focus on selling, making sure the money was there, and he just took care of everything production. So he immediately kind of plugged right in, handled all of our repairs, our replacements, and it was just a perfect fit for us. I know a lot of people say the first hire should be an admin, and I didn't do that for a long time. I finally hired an admin in April of this year, so I just hired her a couple months ago. She has taken so much off my plate. But for like the life of the business so far, definitely production. That was a huge thing taken off my shoulder. I can answer the phones. I can sell people over the phone. Yeah, I can run sales appointments. I can do all the other stuff. But production, while it's crucial and necessary for us to get paid, it was something that I couldn't handle doing all of those other things and production. And I just found myself losing time and losing money by being on a job site and ordering material, scheduling the crew, and going and getting something because something else came up. But our production guy was a perfect fit for us and just handled everything perfectly. So that's got to be hands down my best hire.
Yeah, this is really cool because I preach now on stage, right? Like my latest speech that I do at events has literally been around this topic and how there's not enough focus in the roofing space put on production and streamlining that and organizing it and having that right person in play. All of the young companies that I've seen that are successful have that person like your brother who's in place, who's running the operation. Because the reality of it is, like you said, if you get a company that's started by someone who's already got sales experience, they can sell. They can sell roofs, mm-hmm. right? And so you can produce the sales. Like the sales are going to be there. The problem is, if you can't support it on the production side, you've just created a massive logjam for yourself and you've created a horrible customer experience probably, right? So having that person to manage that middle portion of the process and do it well, you know, I think is a hugely overlooked asset. Like you said, a lot of people think admin, they think accounting, you know, they're thinking those are the first things they need to have in place. But, you know, if you're not setting yourself up for success, you're definitely putting yourself in danger of having a rough time because, like you said, you could sell, you can answer phones, you can sell people over the phone. But if you're doing all of that, who's on the other end making sure the jobs are getting taken care of, making sure the customers are getting taken care of, right? So, you know, I think there's been a huge shift in the industry, heavy focus on sales and marketing and creating these organizations that are just these sales machines. And we're moving away from a bit of the focus on production, right? Mm-hmm. And really making sure that production is run correctly. How important would you say that it's been for you guys to really have your process dialed in early on? You know, being a new company, we always joke, you know, Ty Backer from TC Backer once said, everyone has a process. Sometimes your process is just figure it the hell out. He goes, that's still a process.
Yeah.
Right. And so a lot of times we just, that's how it is when we first start, right? It's just like, well, let's just go for it and we'll just figure it out as we go. Right. So, but how important was it for you guys to really develop a process early on? And then how important is it for you guys to constantly revisit that and tweak that process?
I mean, the obvious answer is it's extremely important, right? You know, when you're in the beginning, the first week we were open, I sold something every day. Right. I think I got a repair, a gutter job, or a retail replacement and a contingency for an insurance claim. Right. And so it was nice because first 4 days in business, I sold something every day. The first day I sold a repair, I went ahead and did the repair myself, got paid same day. It was amazing. We figured out very quickly. It's like, hey, we need to make sure that we have communication in place. We need to make sure that we have everything set up, ready to go. And one thing I'm really big about is CRM. So like we didn't even start until we had a CRM set up. I know a lot of people just go out there, paper contracts, they keep everything in Excel sheet or in Google Drive when they first start. And there's questions every day in every roofing forum. Hey, what's the best CRM? And some of them don't know how to use theirs. And so that was huge for us right off the bat, CRM. And unfortunately, we chose the wrong one at first. But we're with the right one now, so we're good. But I'll say, like, we built systems and processes. And then as we started to expand, we realized, man, they're starting to break left and right. And it was very much focused on myself being the one who had the most roofing knowledge, kind of being in every piece of the puzzle. Like, I had my hand in every bucket. And so we actually just did Business 411's ultimate SOP class. It was a 3-day class here a week or two ago. And we are going through the implementation stage for the next 3 months of implementing a solid foundation for our business. And yeah, we're over a year in business, but there's no better time to fix it than right now, you know? And we're running smoothly. And I wouldn't say that we're a bad business by any means, but we can always improve. It's like you said, how often should we be revisiting it? We look at every single failure that we have, whether it's something as simple as something wasn't ordered or it's a customer complaint. Every single failure is how can we improve that process? What is the next thing we can do to make sure that that never happens again? And so we're constantly doing that. Right now, we're obviously in an overhaul stage where we're going to kind of revamp everything and lay a really solid foundation and build from there. But you know, that's something that we will be revisiting constantly on a regular basis. That's kind of one of the things that I want my overall role to be, is kind of testing and breaking the systems and making sure that they're always getting better so that our customers always get the best experience.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you touched on a couple of things there that I just want to kind of revisit. The biggest one is the SOPs, right? Like I remember talking to a friend of mine, he's been in business for 6-7 years at this point. And he grew the business pretty significantly, $15, $20 million business. And he said, I've never had SOPs. Like I had none in place. And he's like, I realized like it's time, like we need to do it. And so the fact that you guys realized that early on and already started to do that and kind of revamp things a bit to have those SOPs, it's so crucial if you want to scale the business in any way, right? Like it's, you know, I think it's something that obviously when you're small, you're nimble, you only have a few employees, maybe we don't need it. It's more or less the figure it out as we go kind of process, right? And hopefully you've got the right people in place that they just do go and figure it out on their own. But as you scale and grow, like without those SOPs, you're really going to have a mess on your hands. Business 411 is a great partner of ours and they do a great job with that, helping with that. So hats off to you guys for jumping on with them and getting involved with that. Speak a little bit about having those SOPs, writing those SOPs. What did you guys find right away when you started to really look at that process without the SOPs? Where were the breakdowns happening? Where were your biggest areas of opportunity?
Honestly, it was a lot of customer communication, right? And internal, right? I guess you could probably just say communication in general, because a lot of things live in the sales rep's head and it doesn't always make it out. And one thing I really like is when I was at the last company, we revamped the entire business after we hit 15 million. And we had 19 sales reps hit 15 million. And the next year we did residentially alone, we did over 18 million with 6 sales reps. And there was a huge revamp that happened in January and February to do that of that year. I think that was in 2023. And the one thing I took out of that was crazy was Adam Sand with Roofing Business Partner came in and built us a CRM and stuff. And one of the things we talked about was the mindset of a sales rep. You have your people that are really good at speaking with customers and they're really good at being in the field and making sure that the customer's happy, selling the vision, selling the experience of working with your company and how they're going to enjoy everything. And then you have the people that are really, really good at making sure the system's updated, making sure the little details are not missed, making sure that, you know, all the processes are followed to get that job from sold to production, right? And so, you know, one thing that Adam talks a lot about is the, what he calls the inside out model with inside sales and outside sales. And so what I realized very quickly is obviously we didn't have the money to go all in on this inside out model. And it's a focus on having somebody whose role is just focusing on the things in the CRM, making sure that everything's filled out, making sure that the communication between the rep who's out in the field driving every day between appointment to appointment or knocking doors, climbing roofs, everything that lives in their head ends up being somewhere to communicate to the next team member. And so we saw that breakdown happening very quickly. And, you know, luckily for us, it was like, it was me and my brother working together. And so we vibed really well. It was really easy for us to connect and make sure that those communications were happening and overcoming when it didn't happen. But it's still something that we're seeing as an issue as you bring more people into the organization. You know, you still have to train to your processes and then make sure that that communication happens consistently. I mean, right before this call, I hopped into our CRM to do a couple audits and I could already see a couple things that were minor details missing. And it's just about constant training to make sure that that happens. So I'd say that's probably the biggest breakdown we saw immediately. It's gotten a lot better, especially since putting SOPs into place. But every time you have new people come in, it's just more training that has to happen and retraining for the old reps and just continuously making sure that we're not an organization that just sits there and says, all right, here's a new process. We're going to train you one time and now you have to know it. Constant. We have to be a training organization who is always trying to get better and better and better. And that means revisiting things that we may be doing really good at, but we don't want to be complacent and forget, right? So communication is a huge thing for us, especially with automations and Roofer, but it's definitely something we can always get better at every day.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, we used to always say, my former company, you get out of a CRM what you put into it, mm-hmm. right? And the more information and stuff that you can feed into that CRM, the more valuable it's going to be to you on the back end. And I think that's a big gap for a lot of people is, you know, they're wanting a lot out of the CRM,
yeah.
but they don't have their team trained to put the stuff in. So you go into these jobs and they're lacking information, they're lacking photos, they're lacking documentation. So it makes it very tough to garner the data and things that you want on the back if you don't take the time to put all that stuff in or the right training and the right process in place to make sure that everybody's doing what they need to do and putting that stuff in. So speak a little bit, you brought up automation. Yesterday, Nick and I did a masterclass. I saw you jumped in on that. And it was about more or less talking about referrals. We touched on automations in there, but I know you're a big automations guy. So speak a little bit about the automations and what they've done for your business.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it right now, what we've built out successfully has been a lot of automations around keeping the team just on track, making sure that they know when certain things need to be done. And something as simple as, you know, when I send a proposal, it moves to the proposal sent bucket, right? I mean, it's super simple stuff that we can do, but it makes the job so much easier. You know, that was like the first automation I set up was I sent a proposal, it moves to that bucket. And once it's sat in that bucket for more than 2 days, it goes into proposal follow-up and the sales rep gets an email that says, hey, touch base with this customer, right?
Nice.
So it's something to make sure that we keep them at the front of our minds, especially like right now, we have all this hail that just hit and we're just getting inundated with leads from all of our sales reps knocking and from our different lead sources, making sure that we don't lose every customer in the minutia doing all the little things, but actually making sure that we're staying on top of it is really crucial. And just those little simple automations help us do that. But we're, you know, doing a lot more with customer communication. I finally started playing around with a lot of the text communication and stuff like that. And one of the things we talked about, and Amanda with Maven Exteriors, she brought up in the past about the open rate of her proposals. And you guys mentioned that yesterday, and her automation sends a text right away that says, hey, we emailed you a proposal, and her open rate went through the roof. One thing that I looked at that and I said, that's an awesome thing. I wonder if I could tweak it. And I changed it to sending the proposal via text as well. There's a company out of Arizona, Reimagine Roofing, that they do everything virtual. They don't have a single outside sales rep. And they always did it through a different CRM that they custom designed, or they used a platform and then customized it. Right. And they were teaching us that they would always text their proposals. And I was like, that's an awesome thing. Nobody does that. So when I started diving into the automations a little more and the text prompts and all that, and I realized you can text a proposal in Roofer, I was like, why in the world would I not do that? So, you know, I went into ChatGPT, put together some witty little text messages that goes with it just to be fun, try and get the customer to laugh a little bit. You know, we put that together and now, you know, our proposals get opened so much faster. And, you know, we had a customer the other day, first time in 6 years, they didn't have an email for me to send to. Normally, if they're like, hey, I don't have an email, I'm like, well, here's my son's email or something, because they might be a little older and we can still send it. We still sign it. Lady, yeah. She was like, no, no email at all. You can't email it to me. And so I was like, well, all right, I can text it to you. That's not a problem. So I texted it to her, you know, just diving into those and realizing that there's so much more to the CRM that I didn't even know as I'm diving into the automations is awesome. We're currently starting to build out a few more follow-up automations with our homeowners as well. We use a third-party service for our guarantee called Contractor Directory. One of the things that I built out recently was a video about our relationship with Directory, and that's now a follow-up text and email to our customers. Once they've been in, I forget which stage it is, but once they've been in there for a certain amount of time, it's a text that says, hey, are you sure you found the right roofer? And it's got that video tag to it and talks a little bit about it. We're kind of building those out a little bit more as well, about some more around invoicing to make sure that people actually pay their invoice on time. But yeah, automations are amazing. I love them. There's so much we can do. And I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. You know, I think I have 56 or 57 automations right now. I'm on the title of most automations. There's so many more that I have listed out that I just haven't had time to build yet.
Nice. So you hinted a little bit about an ultimate goal for Honeydew. Touch on where you guys are looking to go with the company over the next couple of years. Like, obviously you guys have found some good success here in the first year. Sounds like you definitely have got things dialed, or you're getting things dialed in, running pretty well. What are you guys looking to do in the next 3 to 5 years with Honeydew?
So right now, the biggest focus is profitability. You know, we are profitable, and you know, year one can always be either the easiest for profitability or the hardest, depending on how you're wanting to scale your business, right? A lot of people say, hey, I just want to make enough money to support my family. And some people say, I want to put it all back in the business. And so we are aiming, now that we've built a little bit of a good foundation here, we've got some good team members and we're getting a lot of traction with our name here in San Antonio. The first step is profitability, making sure that we're showing really good profits every month. That way we can actually take care of our people, grow the business, and take care of the customer ultimately. I mentioned earlier, we just opened our Frisco location. So we are opening in Austin and in Frisco. Our teams are kind of from those two areas, kind of covering Austin together, but we will probably open an Austin office within the next year or two as well. So when we're talking 3 to 5 years, it's definitely just establishing all three locations and making sure that they're running smoothly. And then from there, deciding, all right, what's our next direction for our next home service? And then kind of having that snowball effect of, once one's profitable enough to buy a second one, then the two can work together to buy a third and a fourth. And it's just a snowball effect from there. My business partner and I really have a desire to just build really amazing businesses that people can come and have a career at and really have a long-term growth plan and become financially free. And, you know, I think we've got a really good plan to do that with, you know, the Honeydew name.
Well, it was great talking to you today. This has been some incredible insight. I think you guys are doing some great things there. I'm looking forward to seeing how you guys progress over the next couple of years. And I'm glad Roofer's on board for it. Mm-hmm. I know you guys are a great user of ours. So excited to see you guys grow and see Roofer grow with you. And congrats again on being our Roofer of the Month. Thank you for jumping on, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
All right, man. Thank you. And good luck in the future. And like I said, we'll be keeping an eye out on Honeydew. If you guys are in the Austin area and need a roof, he's your guy, man. This is Jacob and Honeydew got it going on. So check them out. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the Roofer Report. And be sure to join us next time. And like I said at the beginning, be sure to check out some of those past episodes. If you haven't, you can access those on our website resources section. You'll see a link to the podcast. And you can see all the podcasts that we've ever done. Definitely check out some of these Roofer of the Months. They're a fantastic bit of information. Everybody dropped some good gold nuggets in there as how they've figured out some things to do and some things that they're doing that are adding to their success. Be sure to jump on there and check out some of those episodes. We'll look forward to seeing Jacob's episode out there as well. And until next time, we will see you on the Roofer Report. Thank you, everybody. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening. Check us out next time on the Roofer Podcast. But until then, be sure to like us, subscribe to us, and check out all our other episodes on YouTube and Spotify.